Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast. We're continuing on with a message I began a number of days ago, which I've entitled Developing Godly Discernment. And as an example, we were looking at the book of 2 Chronicles, chapters 17, 18, specifically about the events occurring in the life of a godly king of Judah by the name of Jehoshaphat, who made an alliance with the ungodly king of Israel, Ahab. And in the 18th chapter, the prophet of the Lord, Jehu, comes to him and says, "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." He, in whatever his motivations were, obviously, they were brethren. We were talking Israel and Judah. It was a divided kingdom after Solomon passed away, and Rehoboam basically didn't follow the advice of the elders, and as a result, the kingdom was split. And 10 tribes were up in the north, and they were the first to really fall away from the God of Israel and were sent into captivity and dispersion. But beloved, we have to understand the application for us today is that we cannot make alliances with the Ahabs of this world. And like Ahab, he was familiar with the things of God, obviously. He was an Israelite. Of course he had to be. But every time we, as God's children, make an alliance with the enemy of God, it opens the door for the enemy to attack in full force in an attempt to destroy the church or that individual. Ahab was a crafty, wily old guy. He further went on, if you want to read that chapter, I don't want to take the time in reading all those verses, but he told Jehoshaphat, "I will disguise myself and go into battle, but you wear your robes." In other words, Jehoshaphat went into battle wearing his kingly robes, and beloved, that's what the enemy wants you to do, to stand out like a sore thumb to the forces of the enemy. Don't put on the armor of God. Put on the finery of men's acclaim, the robes of compromise, and go on into the war. And this only points up the fact that whatever you do in your wrong alliances, it opens you to be surrounded by the enemy and to be attacked. The king of Syria had commanded the captains of his chariots to fight only with the king of Israel. And when the captains of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat dressed in regal splendor, they turned to fight him. Let me read that verse. Verse 31 in chapter 18, "And it came to pass when the captains of the chariot saw Jehoshaphat that they said, 'It is the king of Israel.' Therefore they compassed about him to fight, but Jehoshaphat cried out, and the Lord helped him, and God moved them to depart from him." So he nearly got himself killed in the battle because he was in this warfare that he shouldn't have been a part of anyway, and then he follows the advice of Ahab that he should just go into battle as he is, and he disguises himself, although of course God still has his way, just by, quote, accident, by chance, an arrow penetrates Ahab's armor and he does die. So just as the word of the Lord said. But beloved, we have to understand that God wants us to be diligent. He wants us to be discerning. He doesn't want us to create havoc in our own lives by a wrong alliance, and it opens us to be surrounded by the enemy and attacked. And so, beloved, you might feel like you're surrounded by Assyrian forces, the forces of the devil pressing in on you, but What did Jehoshaphat do? He had made a bad alliance, and he was close to being destroyed. He was close to perishing, being killed, but he did something. He cried unto the Lord, and the Lord helped him. God drew them away from him. Well, it certainly looked like the prophecy of Micaiah was not going to come to pass. Ahab was in disguise. It looked like he was home free. But God is not mocked, beloved. A soldier in verse 33 of chapter 18. In fact, let me read that. A certain man drew a bow at a venture and smote the king of Israel between the joints of the harness. Therefore, he said to his chariot men, "Turn thine hand that thou mayest carry me out of the host, for I am wounded." The arrow struck the king of Israel, and that is, you know, between the scale armor and the breastplate. And so God's word was fulfilled. Ahab propped himself during the heat of the battle. He faced the Syrians until evening, and then he died, just as God said he would do if he went up to Ramoth-Gilead. Now, beloved, you may have made some bad alliances in your life. You may be in some now. But if you will cry out to God today, God will hear your cry and he will help you, just like he helped Jehoshaphat. And you will come out from under that wrath. God sees your heart. Listen to what, you know, I've just shared that second verse. He said, "Should you help the ungodly, love them that hate the Lord?" Those were the words of Jehu to Jehoshaphat. But in verse 3, though, he says, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God." Jehu reproved Jehoshaphat for making that wrong alliance, but God said, "There is some good found in you, for you destroyed the high places, the Asherahs, out of the land, and you set your heart to seek God." Jehoshaphat proceeded to make additional reforms, and he turned the people's heart to the Lord. In chapter 20, we find Jehoshaphat seeking the Lord, and he prayed for help. Jehoshaphat said, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." Glory, what a difference. He had learned his lesson. He had almost lost his life because of his wrong alliance, his alliance with the enemy of God. But God had mercy on him. And when the enemy aligned themselves against Jehoshaphat and against Judah, he prayed and sought the face of God. This is what we can do, beloved. That's why I've taken the time on these broadcasts to show you the word of the Lord, what one godly man, one godly king did, his errors, his mistakes, his sins, and also the right things that he did. So, beloved, examine your alliances. Are they godly, or are they with an enemy of the cross of Christ, of your salvation? Cry out to God, and he'll show you what to do. He has set forth principles, established truth for you and for me. In verse 20, we see Jehoshaphat standing before the people saying, "Hear me, Judah, and inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed." Beloved, this world, by the wisdom of man, has never known God. It's by the foolishness of the preaching of the cross that men are saved. This world, by man's wisdom, will never know God. This world can only know God with the faith of a little child. And it's the heart's cry, I believe, of every leader, of my heart, that God will raise up men and women and send them forth with a battle cry that will sound around the world, a people who will cry like Moses cried to the camp of Israel, "Who is on the side of the Lord? Who will serve the king?" Beloved, we need to get back to the faith of our fathers, that faith that was once delivered to the saints, a dynamic, overcoming, power-filled faith that will see the enemy struck down and destroyed. You know, it's a wrong alliance if you put prayer out of the church, and the prayer rooms, unfortunately, have been vacated. There were two different churches I was in, and they were having a once-a-month prayer meeting, and they stopped because nobody was coming. And we've dispensed with the testimony meeting and started the rummage sale. We have programs of social development, they say, and so we don't need prayer. Beloved, when an individual is filled with the spirit of worldliness, the spirit of prayer always goes. Prayer is something that is not pumped out of the human heart. Real prayer is spontaneous. It's a natural part of the Christian's experience. It's frequent. It cries because the cry is there. It praises because the praise is there. The church, in many places, has made an alliance with the enemy by putting the Holy Spirit out of the church. They no longer preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Beloved, I'm talking about full gospel churches. There's no moving of the Spirit of God. And it's not just my experience. I've talked to others, and you just don't see in a lot of places that claim to be Spirit-filled, believe in the baptism. There's just no, they don't allow the Holy Spirit to move. Many have made basically an unholy alliance with Ahab. I actually heard, this is from a good friend who lived in the San Francisco Bay Area. And there was someone attempted to give, I don't know if it was the gift of tongues, an interpretation of tongues, but they were literally told they were not to do that in the morning service. They could in the evening service, but not in the morning service. So I guess God was not permitted, and we're talking a big church. Anyway, it's sad, beloved, that that's how we've compromised to be appealing to the ways of the carnal. And many have made basically an unholy alliance with Ahab, who was an ungodly king. In this case, it's the prince of darkness. They're diametrically opposed to the baptism of the Holy Spirit in some cases. And in the days when they did believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the Lord went with them and confirmed the word with signs and with wonders that followed. The windows of heaven were open, and a mighty, glorious Pentecostal outpouring of divine power fell upon the hearts and lives of people. The trouble is, in many places, many people, they've been sleeping. Beloved, we need to make a decision today to wake up and to allow God to bring back the fire that we once walked in. Amen. Well, my time has flown, and with the Lord's help, we'll conclude this message tomorrow. Thank you for joining me all this time. There's really not been much opportunity to ministry, but I've wanted to share from the Word of God in detail the importance of godly discernments and aligning ourselves with God's principles and purposes. I love you. Thank you for joining me. The announcer will give our contact information. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,